75 years for us, the last petition of the Lord's invite of the Lord. Let us pray. O gracious God, and the Father in heaven,
we do thank you now for turning to thy word, and we do thank you, Lord, that this is thy word, the scriptures of truth. And our Father, we pray that thou will bless us, and that thou will undertake for us as we seek to preach thy word. And O Lord, just come and bless, and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and bless the word of God. So be with us now. Bless every head that's bowed. And we pray that we might hear the voice of God speaking to us, speaking to our souls. And may we leave here a band of people whose hearts the Lord has touched for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text today is found in those verses between verse 24 and 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto a recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11 is known as the chapter of the heroes of faith. You read about the exploits of men and women who did by faith. We read about Abel, who worshipped God by faith. In verse 4 there, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And we know that Abel worshipped God on the grounds of the shed blood of a sacrifice of a lamb. Then we have Enoch. We have the walk of faith. The Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. Then we have Noah. He walked by faith. It says there, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so you could go on, by faith, by faith. But in our text today, we have the choice of faith. We read those words again about Moses. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's four things about the choice of faith we want to look at. We have the time of Moses' choice. It says when he was come to years. When he was about 40 years old, when he was at his prime, you could say, the lure of the world would have been at its greatest. He could have gained prominence in Egypt. He might even have risen to being Pharaoh over the whole realm. But he turned his back and all of that. We read there in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And then verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Beloved, today, sometimes it costs to be a Christian. It will cost you nothing to become a Christian. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can become a Christian. It's a free gift from God. Christ paid the price of your redemption. But to be a good Christian may cost you everything. Amen. Over there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 37, it says, "He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose his life. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." The missionary C.T. Studd was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, born into wealth and affluence. His father was a successful businessman, and the world was opening up to him. He played cricket for England and for Cambridge, and the world was opening up. But he heard the call of God to go to China as a missionary. He turned his back and all of that. He went to China. In China, he received his inheritance. His father had died, and it was £25,000, which was a fortune in the 19th century. He gave it all away. Some to D.L. Moody, some to Hudson Taylor, the Chinese in that mission, some to Muller's orphanages. He gave it all away to God's work. Came back from China, went to India, came back from India, a man in his 50s in bad health. He went one night to a meeting and heard about the need among the pygmies in Africa. He went back to where he was staying and said, "Lord, send someone to the pygmies in Africa." And God said, "You go." Someone said to him, "Why are you doing it, Stott? You have already been to China. You have already been to India. You've given your fortune away. Why are you doing it?" And C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there's no sacrifice that I can't make for him." Beloved, being a Christian involves refusing the pleasures of sin and choosing Christ. So it is. Over in 1 John chapter 2, there, verse 15, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We have the time of Moses' choice, but we have the nature of Moses' choice. There's five things about it. First of all, it involved a refusal. Verse 24 there, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Sometimes we have not only to do right, but we have to discern between right and wrong. And we must always choose the right and refuse the wrong. It's a choice between Christ and the world. Others who made the right choice. We think of Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife and he refused, and she told lies about him, and he ended up going to prison. But God was with him, and he rose up to be second only to Pharaoh in the land. We think of the three Hebrew children who refused to bow down to the king's statue. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, but the Lord was with them and brought them out. We think of Daniel. Daniel, the thing was signed that no one was to pray to any other god or make requests of any man, only the king. But Daniel prayed three times a day as usual. He was cast into the den of lions, but God was with him and shut the lion's mouth. We think of Peter and John. They were told not to preach any more in the name of Christ. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Old Bob Jones, the founder of the great university in America, said these words, do right, though the stars fall. Do right. Amen. And it was, and it involved a great refusal. So it did. What did Moses refuse? To be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the treasures of Egypt, the pleasures of sin, the world, the court of Egypt must have thought he was mad. But he was not. He was not acting from the standpoint of the world, but from the standpoint of eternity. He was choosing between what was right and what was wrong. Moses was prepared to suffer for Christ. It says there in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Over in Luke chapter 14, we read these words. Luke 14, verses 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Apostle Paul could say he had suffered the loss of all things, but count them but dung, that he might win Christ and be found in him, having the power of the resurrection. What Egypt had to offer Moses was temporal, but what Christ had to offer was eternal. So it was. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 4, we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And Moses had his eyes on eternity when he made his choice. And it was the right choice, so it was. It was costly, but right. It may not have seemed right to the Egyptians. It may not have seemed right to Pharaoh's daughter, who had rescued him from the Nile, who brought him up as her own son. But it was right. To stay in the court would have meant denying the Lord and the covenant of Abraham. Choosing Christ may seem to many to be the wrong choice. It may seem madness to the world. I remember when I got saved, people scratched their head, shook it. They couldn't believe it. But it seemed to be madness to the world. It may be madness even to our own family. Mightn't understand it. But it's the right choice. So it is. We're not of the world. We belong to the Lord. So it is. And the Bible says we ought to obey God more than men. And then we have the constraint of Moses' choice. Verse 26 and 27. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. The concern, what caused Moses to make his choice? To stay in Egypt or to follow Christ? The gains in Egypt were temporal. Following Christ would bring eternal reward. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be we have suffered with him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Beloved, what Egypt had to offer was temporal. It was great. It was vast. But it was temporal. But Christ would bring eternal reward. And that's what he lost in time, he concentrated in eternity. Moses was living for eternity. He had his eye in heaven. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. We think of all that Moses suffered in the wilderness. Israel was always murmuring, complaining, going to stone him. But yet withal, he chose affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Beloved, what influences our choice? Do we live for time and the things of time? Or do we live for eternity? In Colossians chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 1. If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. And that word affection in the margin reads mind. Set your mind on the things above. The same chapter there, verse 24. Knowing that the Lord, he shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Do we live for time or eternity? And then last of all, the result of Moses' choice. God used him to deliver Israel. He went back to Egypt and stood before Pharaoh, and God used him to deliver Israel. He became the great lawgiver. He would give the nation the Ten Commandments. God talked with him as face to face, as a man talks with friends. And he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. And today, He's in heaven. He made the right choice. Beloved, choosing Christ is the right thing. If you're here today and you're not saved and you don't know what to do, I'd urge you, friend, to choose the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Put your faith and trust in Christ. You'll never regret it, so you won't. You'll never regret it in life. The Christian life is the best life. It's a life of joy and peace. You'll never regret it in death. You'll be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you'll never regret it in eternity. But if you don't get saved, well, you mightn't regret it in life. It might make much difference. But you will regret it in death. And you will regret it for eternity. You come today. Be saved. Go home rejoicing, knowing it's well with your soul. May God bless you. And may God save you by his grace. We have